Let's open our Bibles to Zechariah chapter number 11. We've already seen in this prophetic book the shepherd motif, that is, shepherds representing leaders, spiritual leaders, political leaders. And God has been critiquing the leadership of the past, both ancient and recent, and how bad leaders often bring on judgment. And so here he is, Zechariah, representing God's warning that leaders can still bring on judgment, even in the time of renewal, which remember that Zechariah is a prophet of the return from exile, and he is encouraging the rebuilding of the temple and the reestablishment of the Jewish faith in the Jewish homeland. But there's still danger of bad leadership that brings judgment. So let's look at Zechariah chapter 11 and see how some of that is played out. Open your doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour your cedars. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, for the glorious trees are ruined. Wail, oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest has been felled. Now, we've seen the imagery of trees in the past representing people groups, nations, and how when judgment comes, those trees are taken down. They're either hacked down or they are burned out. And so here is the warning. Get ready for some judgment because you've not been living the way you're supposed to. Lebanon is up to the north. It would include, to some extent, Tyre and Sidon area, which we've already seen judgment coming their direction. The Oaks of Bashan, that's on the east side of the Jordan Valley. And so apparently some judgment is going to be coming down that direction. Verse 3, slight variation on that same theme. The sound of the wail of the shepherds for their glory is ruined. The sound of the roar of the lions for the thicket of the Jordan is ruined. So all along the Jordan River, which zigzags through the valley between the Sea of Galilee in the north and the Dead Sea in the south, there grows up this green patch, this ribbon of willows and other water-loving plants, and it makes a thicket, like a little jungle, next to the Jordan River. And back at the time when there were lions in the lower Middle East, the lions liked that area. Well, here we are told that the shepherds, apparently of Jerusalem, Judah, the Israelis, should be wailing because judgment is also coming against their area. And the lions, which might be a symbol of leadership as well, they're not going to be pleased with how things turn out. Now, verse 4. Let's follow along in this theme of shepherds being leaders, and if they are not good leaders, that can bring judgment. Verse 4. Thus says he who is my God, become shepherd of the flock doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them slaughter them and go unpunished, and those who sell them say, oh, blessed be Yahweh, blessed be he who is, I've become rich. And their own shepherds have no pity on them. Sheep were a source of food for the Israeli people, but they were also the source of sacrifice. You needed plenty of sheep in order to have plenty of animal sacrifices ready to go. And what are we doing? We are rebuilding the temple. We've already got the sacrificial altar rebuilt. And so there needs to be more and more and more and more of these sacrifices. So now there is this demand for more and more sheep. And where there is a high demand and a low supply, there's money to be made. And so we've got some shepherds here that are raising the sheep, having no pity on them, because all they're doing is trying to produce as many sheep as they can in order to sell for sacrifice and for eating, generally, to the growing population of Judah as the people are returning to the homeland. But this becomes symbolic of the same sort of mercenary mindset that can happen among the leaders of the people. Verse number 6. This is still God speaking through Zechariah. "For I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants of this land, declares he who is. Behold, I will cause each of them to fall into the hand of his neighbor, and each into the hand of his king, and they shall crush the land, and I will deliver none from their hand." So God predicts a time when the shepherds are not going to be looking out for the sheep. The sheep are actually going to prey on one another and do great damage to one another. And God is going to let it happen because that's part of the judgment. When you blow off God's covenant, when you blow off God's standard of how to live, you cannot expect him to keep blessing and protecting. He is at some point going to pull back and allow the natural course of such selfish behavior to take place. Think of Romans chapter 1, where God allows everything to implode because of the sinfulness of the culture. Back to the text here. Verse number 7. "So I became the shepherd of the flock, doomed to be slaughtered by the sheep traders." Now that goes back to verse 4. God told Zechariah the prophet, "Go out, get yourself a job of being a shepherd to the doomed sheep." So he does. And in preparing for this symbolic job, it says, "I took two staffs. One I named favor," and the word is actually the idea of beauty, or beautiful. "And the other I named union," or cords. So cords kind of tie things together. So union becomes the wording. So he makes these two symbolic staffs, probably carves their names on them. And he goes to work. Verse 8, "In 1 month I destroyed the three shepherds." Destroyed here is probably too strong a word from our mindset. It isn't that he killed them, he fired them. He was apparently an over-shepherd trying to take care of the sheep with under-shepherds. And in 1 month, he has to fire three of these shepherds because they're not taking proper care of the sheep. "So in 1 month, I destroyed the three shepherds, but I became impatient with them, and they also detested me. So I said, I'm not to be your shepherd. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. And let those who are left devour the flesh of one another." So he gets his fill of this job where he is not appreciated at all. The shepherds that he keeps hiring and having to fire get replaced by other shepherds that don't care about the sheep. And so finally he says, "I'm done. I am quitting. And whatever happens to the flock is just going to happen to the flock." Verse 10, "I took my staff, favor, beauty, and I broke it, annulling the covenant that I had made with all the peoples." Now, this is where the symbolism comes in, because the ultimate shepherd here is God. So God tries to be the over-shepherd of the Israeli people, bringing them out of Egypt, bringing them into the promised land. And he puts under shepherds in charge, trying to govern them and watch over them. And what happens? All those under shepherds become problems. And finally, God has had enough and says, I'm done. Whatever's going to have to happen is going to have to happen. So he breaks his relationship with the people. And this is where he kind of sends them into exile as well. Verse 11. So it was annulled on that day, and the sheep traders who were watching me knew that it was the word of he who is. So they're watching the symbolism play out in front of us and go, I wonder what that's about. I wonder what he's trying to teach. Because they knew Zechariah was a prophet. Then I said to them, well, if it seems good to you, give me my wages. But if not, just keep them. And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver. Now, this is pre-coinage. So they were weighing out little weights of silver. Each one of them is probably going to be the weight of an eventual coin in Israel called the shekel, which is about 2 days' wages. So 30 pieces of silver, a couple of months' wages. And then he who is said to me, just throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them. God tells him, just throw it into the potter that's working on the building of the temple. And then he, Zechariah, says, yeah, that lordly price at which they valued me. And so I took the 30 pieces of silver and I cast them into the house of he who is to the potter. Now, if that sounds familiar, there's a reason for it. Because in the story of the gospel, Matthew's record of it, chapter number 27, we have Judas betray the shepherd, the good shepherd, for how much? You got it, 30 pieces of silver. And once he sees that Jesus is condemned to execution, and you get the impression that Judas wasn't really looking for Jesus to be executed. He just simply wanted him to no longer be followed by people, because Judas evidently had come to the conclusion Jesus was not the Messiah, that he was just kind of a crazy young man, and he could make a buck off of him by handing him over to the authorities, and that would take him out of circulation. He more than likely anticipated that he would be beaten and then lose all his influence on the people. But that's not how it played out, was it? Jesus gets condemned by the manipulation of the Jewish leadership to execution at the hands of the Romans. And that causes great pain in the heart of Judas. And so this is what we read in Matthew 27, 3. Then when Judas's betrayer saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and he went out and he hanged himself. So he tries to return the blood money, but they won't accept it. So he throws it into the inner court area of the shrine building. The wording that's used here is talking about the innermost part of the temple complex, the part that only the priests are supposed to be able to go to. So he's basically trying to give it back in the presence of God as part of his penance. Now, he's not really repentant. He's basically what we'd say. He was sorry he got caught in the midst of all this. And so He goes out and he hangs himself. We find out by combining this information with the information in Acts chapter 1 that he went out and hung himself at a clay quarry that was part of a pottery making concern, probably on the south side of the city of Jerusalem. And since it was a holiday on that day, followed by a Sabbath on the next day, and then another holiday called First Fruits on the Sunday that followed the Sabbath day, there was 3 days in a row that no one would have gone to that place of business. And when they did, they found that this guy had hung himself at the pottery quarry, and that because there was nobody there to take the body down, it swelled up in the sun, and the rope either broke or came loose, and he falls down onto the clay and pops open and contaminates the ground, because pottery clay is used to make pots, and pots are used to carry things, and therefore it has to be clean ceremonially. The clay has now been contaminated with the blood of a dead man. And so when the business discovered that their pottery, their clay quarry had been contaminated, they couldn't use it anymore. So they had to sell it, which is why it came on the market just when these priests were looking for a way to spend blood money. Back to Matthew, chapter 27, verse 6. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It's not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel over time, clearly, and they bought with the money, with the 30 pieces of silver, the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. So the potter's field comes on the market. There is something it can be used for, and that is a cemetery for people that have no family connections, no one to pay for their burial. So the Sanhedrin buys the contaminated clay quarry, probably the associated business with it, and turns it into this potter's field for poor people to be buried in. Therefore, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day, Hakeldama. And it's a double meaning. It's the field where blood was spilled, but it's also the field bought with blood money. And then, here's the whole thing that I was trying to get to. Verse number 9 of Matthew 27. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. Now we're in Zechariah, and the wording that we're about to read is from the Zechariah passage. Matthew's not making a mistake here. What happens is there's also pottery imagery and prophecies related to the Messiah in the book of Jeremiah, and how Jeremiah has to go and learn at the potter's house, probably on the south side of Jerusalem, perhaps the exact same place where Judas committed suicide. But he has to go there and learn that God uses even bad pots for his own purposes. But the whole goal is everybody should be a good pot and allow the potter to make them useful properly. And the people back in Jeremiah's time were not being good pots. And so in another passage in that same book, Jeremiah has to go and take a piece of pottery and in front of everybody break it down in the valley that runs south of Jerusalem, the valley of the sons of Hinnom, and say, this is a symbol of what God is going to do. He's going to break Jerusalem. He's going to break the Jewish people. He's going to bring the judgment of the Babylonians on this city. And this area right here is going to be used for a massive burial place because of the sins of the people. And this is where God is going to judge them. And so you take all of these things together from Jeremiah as background, and then you have also this quote or allusion that Matthew throws in, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field as he who is directed me. So our passage in Zechariah is a supplement to the things that come out of Jeremiah, but they all have the same message, and that is God brings judgment on bad shepherds and even on bad sheep. And what we really need is the good shepherd, which makes me think about John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I look out for the sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and I call them by name and lead them out. That's really what is needed, is good shepherds. But unfortunately, Zechariah has to be the example of a bad shepherd, and how bad shepherds end up allowing the sheep to be abused. Verse number 14, then I broke my second staff union, annulling the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Now, that passage seems to be a remembrance of how God's judgment broke apart southern Judah from northern Israel, and each of them faced their own judgments. Northern Israel under the Assyrians, southern Judah under the Babylonians. But thankfully, they were having the opportunity to come back and be brought back together again with one another and with God. That's a separate thing that comes out of the book of Ezekiel, where the two sticks get put back together again. But the only way that happens is through the death and the resurrection of the good shepherd of all, the Messiah. But we need to finish with this warning from Zechariah's time. Verse number 15. Then he who is said to me, take once more the equipment of a foolish shepherd. So Zechariah, you tried to be the good shepherd and you got ignored and mistreated, and you had to quit and give the shepherd or give the sheep up to the judgment. Now I want you to demonstrate what a bad shepherd is going to do in the future. So take once more the equipment of a foolish shepherd, for behold, I am raising up in the land a shepherd who does not care for those being destroyed, or seek the young, or heal the maimed, or nourish the healthy, but devours the flesh of the fat ones, tearing off even their hoofs. You remember how I've told you that Zechariah is one of those books that seem to be filled with all sorts of prophecies from the return to the first coming of Jesus, to the growth of the church, to the second coming of Jesus. Well, this seems to be one of those pointing toward the second coming, because God is going to allow to raise up, according to the book of Daniel, chapter number 7, according to the entirety of the book of Revelation, a bad leader. A lot of people call him Antichrist. I like to call him the beast leader, because that's the language out of Daniel and out of the book of Revelation. But this bad guy is going to be a leader, but not care about the people. And so verse number 17, woe to my worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. And then a curse is put on this bad shepherd. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. Let his arm be wholly withered and his right eye utterly blinded. So a curse is put on what is apparently this final world ruler, this evil, wicked shepherd. And it impacts on his right eye and his right arm. Many commentators have found it interesting that in the book of Revelation, it is said both about the kingdom and maybe the king himself, that's the bad guy in the story, that he will, having had a fatal wound to the head, to have survived that, to revive from that. And so this, in fact, might be a prediction that the final world ruler, the beast leader, the horn leader, is going to have a bad right arm and a bad right eye because something happens to him on his rise to power. Come back next week and we will continue with the rest of Zechariah.